important. Water could make a cup of tea. Water could run your bath. And water would fill a hot water bottle. In those days when I was a child, and I think it's still true for a lot of British people, a cup of tea could solve a lot of problems. If the problem was bigger than just a cup of tea in a bath would help to solve the problem. If the problem was even bigger than that, a cup of tea, a bath, and a hot water bottle would probably do the trick. So water was very important to us. And so is baptism. In fact, there is a character who lives in my hometown of Bramford who walks the streets with a walker, a shabby baseball cap, and a pipe hanging out of the corner of his mouth. He has been baptized in Bramford, in the Presbyterian Church, and the Catholic Church, and the Congregational Church, and the Lutheran Church, and the Methodist Church, and of course the Episcopal Church. He loves getting baptized. But I'm not sure if it's for the spiritual reasons. I suspect it's for the party afterwards. Charlie loves to be baptized. In the gospel message today, we have John baptizing. Let's look a little bit before what was going on. The Jews were becoming very complacent. They weren't following the laws very well. They were taking God for granted. And John was not happy about that. Now let me remind you about who John was. John is Jesus' cousin. If you remember, Elizabeth, his mother, was told that she could never have any children. But by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, she became pregnant. And she and her cousin Mary were pregnant together. And you probably remember that Mary went to meet Elizabeth, and as soon as Elizabeth saw Mary, who was carrying Jesus, the child, John, yet unborn, did a backflip, recognizing this holy, holy moment and who Mary was and who Mary was carrying. So it was John, after he was born, who became a special missionary. In the first chapter of Luke that I'm reading from this translation called The Message, we are told, after he is born, he will drink neither wine nor beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. He will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah. Soften the hearts of parents to their children and kindle devout understanding among hardened skeptics. He will get the people ready for God. That is what John is doing down by the Jordan River. He is getting people to repent, turn back, getting them to recognize where they've been, repent and realign themselves on that path that they need to be on, because they've become complacent. I wonder where we are on that path. Do we take time out to recognize our sinfulness? Do we take time out to repent? Do we take time to realign ourselves, getting back on the path? The baptism today of little Jacob Thomas will help us do that. He's just a baby. He's just a baby, like Jesus was just a baby. But in baptizing him this morning, we all will redo our baptismal vows. And what do those vows talk about? They talk about what our job is as Christians. It used to be that we focused, or it still is, I think, that we focus on baptism as a death to sin and a newborn, and us being newborn in life in Christ Jesus. But it's much more than that. We have two sacraments in the Episcopal Church: baptism and Holy Communion. That's it. Baptism and Holy Communion. And baptism was the first sacrament. Jesus' baptism was the first time that we heard about being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if we look at that idea that baptism is a sacrament, which is an outward sign of inward grace, as a sacrament to release us from our sins, why was Jesus baptized? Jesus had no sin. Why? People think about that, and scholars think about that, and some people say it was because Jesus, as fully human and fully divine, was taking on all our sin. He wasn't the sinner, but he was carrying it for us. And in his baptism, Jesus was also calling us to live into our baptismal covenant. Little Jacob Thomas is going to be initiated by the ritual of baptism into this family, into the broader family of Christ's daughters and sons. And in that, there's also a call to be a disciple, which is the call that each one of us has. We become a member, and then we have to do something. We have to do something. On your bulletin, I think you'll see the mission statement for St. Peter's, SPC. Share the gospel, prepare disciples, and care for the community. We could have easily said, just follow your baptismal promises. Just follow your baptismal vows. This is what being a Christian is all about. It's not just the question of redeeming us from sin. It's the question of what we do as Christians. You know, it's really safe to be a Christian in this space right now, isn't it? You've got people to your left of you, to your right of you, in front of you, and behind of you. It's safe. But out there in the world, out behind those doors, how do we show people that we're Christians these days in a world that's increasingly secular? Some of us might only just show that they're Christians by wearing a cross. I sometimes worry about wearing a cross that's shiny and made of a precious metal. It really has no resemblance to the real cross. But nevertheless, it's a cross. This particular cross was given to me by a Jewish couple. It means an awful lot to me because it was given to me by a Jewish couple. So how do we show that we're Christians out there in the world? There's a hymn that goes, we'll show that we are Christians by our love, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. I don't think that's good enough. Unless you make that love an action, unless you do something about it. And the parents of Jacob Thomas have a daunting task ahead of them. They're going to make some promises in front of us right now in this body that they're going to bring up little Jacob Thomas as a Christian, teach him to say his prayers, teach him to be kind and good, teach him about Jesus, tell him the stories. It can be a daunting task. It's hard work raising children. But that's their job, and it's our job. You see, when I was christened or baptized, it was in an empty church. My godparents and my parents and the priests were there, but nobody else. It was done in private. You might even say secret. And then in the 1960s, some folk decided this was not a good idea. They decided that baptism had to be done in public, with the rest of the Christian body around, witnessing and agreeing to support this child in his life as a Christian. John did not baptize in secret. He was right out there on the River Jordan with all to see as people confessed their sins. But John's baptism wasn't the sacrament of baptism that we know, because it wasn't by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and the heavens opened and God said, "This is my son. I love him. I am pleased with him." Now in that death, in that baptism by the River Jordan, Jesus was signing his death warrant. Jesus was recognizing and accepting that his ministry for the next 3.5 years would lead to the cross. And he did it just for us. Not for himself, but for us. Because Jesus says to each one of us, "I love you. I am pleased with you. Go to work. Go to work. Go to work." Amen.
baptism will now be presented.